Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. So I went to the comic shop today. It's Wednesday, July 3rd, and I have the day off. My wife is working. I have the day off. And I went to really for one reason, because I could have waited a week to get my stuff, but I went for one reason, and that reason was to get Amazing Spider-Man 50, because I missed it. I don't know how the hell I missed it, because this is one that I get through the LCS, and he's usually really good about keeping up. And I was going through my books, and I said, I want to catch up the previous weekend to Amazing Spider-Man. And I read 49, and then I was searching everywhere for 50, and I'm like, how could I not have 50? I have 51 and 52. How could I not have 50? At least I couldn't find it. So then the light bulb went on, and I went to my database, and it wasn't there. So I knew I had to go this week to get it if I wanted to catch up on Amazing Spider-Man, because I just recently caught up with the Hulk and was going to go Amazing Spider-Man, because I've been in the Marvel mood. And then since I didn't have my Amazing Spider-Man, I went on the Blood Hunt. And I will say that the Blood Hunt's as addictive to me as the Gang War. I've been really pleased with these two events. And I feel like each comic matters. So, like, I want to follow it into Vengeance of the Moon Knight and Fantastic Four and Doctor Strange, and then get all the miniseries. And I'm just really stoked about the event. And I've read the one thing, though, that I'm not too impressed with is there is one other guy, Ryan Drost, who does the Star Joes podcast, who disagrees with me. So there are people that think this is worth it, but I initially was buying the Red Band issue and the regular issue, and I got the first one, and I was like, okay, I see there were 6 extra pages in the first one, but they really didn't add anything. Like, you could see one character being torn apart and one being gutted and intestines flapping all over the place and a little more blood. But in terms of story content and what that added, I was like, I didn't really add much. Matter of fact, Carnage is not a Red Band, and they show all of that stuff in a church. Yeah. So I was like, not impressed with the Red Bands, even though I continue to get them. But then I read 3 and 4, and while they're good, there's not a lot of action in 3 and 4. It's more like advancing the story of this group, advancing the story of that group. But there's not a lot of vampire fighting where you can see guts. So, like, I read 3 and 4 and didn't want to rip open the plastic, because I was like, how could they do anything? How can they insert some violence when there's no violence in the story? But part of me is, like, really curious. But I had pinged social media and said, is there some extra scenes that are worth it? And only 2 people replied, maybe because nobody's reading Blood Hunt. But they said, not really in 3. So I didn't do that. And then I read 4 just today and didn't see a lot of opportunity for violence, so I didn't open that one either. But I read the regular edition. But yeah, and I probably won't release this episode until after the July 4th weekend. I already have one in the hopper. I went to the LCS to get that comic, and then I heard about all this shenanigans. And then I saw the Hot 10 and Hot 20 comics, and I heard all these shenanigans about them releasing this one to every LCS, a Moon Knight Fist of Khonshu issue number 0. And I was like, well, what the hell is this? And I think they're going to release the 0 some other way, because I got a note from DCBS, and they said, if you want this, you can't order it regularly. You got to add it via this FOC kind of nonsense. So I put it in there, but I wasn't sure what it was. Like, I wasn't sure when this would come out or what, but I was aware that the LCS, the one per store variant, came out, and I didn't expect to get it because they were listed as $99 on the collecting app. Like, they had gone up that fast because it was one per store. So I walked in and I asked Ed, I was like, do you have any of these? And he says, I had two, because he got one from Diamond and he got one from Pengram Random House. And my friend was there, the only guy that I know in Colorado that collects comics, happened to be there. That's a close friend. I played softball with him when there was the fire near his house. He lived with me for like 5 days. And so I saw him there, and he got the second copy. But we got him for $19.99, which was really good, comparatively speaking, of what they're going for on eBay and everywhere else. So I was glad that Ed didn't look up those prices, because I don't want to pay a lot for it. Like, I would have been more cautious, but $20, I was like, yeah, I'm going to jump on that sucker. But I want to see if number zero is going to be re-released, or if I should open that poly bag or what, because I want to read it, because I understand it ties into Blood Hunt. So I want to read that story because I've been really into Blood Hunt. And then Ed had another interesting story that I'd like to share with you, because I thought it was fancy. First, he got four long boxes of stuff that I didn't get to go through, but I wanted to. Like, I really wanted to. But they weren't priced and stuff, and I was like, oh my God. And I already had a stack of a few comic books, which I'll talk about what I picked up. But he had gotten in the mail the Todd McFarlane, like, five issues of Spider-Man with a note. And it was like many. So think about when Spider-Man came out in the 90s, right? The Todd McFarlane Spider-Man. And somebody, I guess, stole these books from his store. And now, many, many years later, felt guilty and sent them all back to him. I just thought that was a fascinating story to share with you, because that was very unusual. So, like, there was guilt on his conscience that hit him, and he's like, I have these issues. I think I'm going to send them back to him anonymously, and he'll have his books. So that was a very unusual story that I heard. So I'll tell you what I picked up. I also have an Aaron Myers purchase, but I think I'm going to wait till I get back from the holidays to talk about that. I got a Charlton. It's called Time for Love. And it's Time for Swinging, Time for Dreaming, Time for Love. And then it says Dane will cut. Is, or I guess that's his name, Dane Wilcutt, is a beach bum. But he's twice as much man as the one left at the altar, runaway bride. And it's a nice looking cover, because it's all black, and black it holds up really well in this copy. I was pretty happy with this 12-cent edition. And then recently, I read my first Son of Tomahawk, which continued the Tomahawk series. I knew nothing. Okay, you think about how much DC Comics I have, right? And you're like, well, this guy must have some Tomahawk comics. I don't. I have like one. And I have one Son of Tomahawk. And I didn't even know he had a son. But I knew Tomahawk from Crisis. I think he was in there. And then from that book Challenge back in the 80s, where one writer would take an adventure to something and then end it. And then another writer would have to take his ending and then run with the story. And then another writer would do that. I have to get the phone, so I'll be right back. Yeah, my wife is coming home, so I gotta try to wrap up pretty fast here. But we got the Son of Tomahawk, and I read it, and I was kind of blown away, even though only half of the book was Son of Tomahawk, and the rest was about a Confederate soldier who became a bank robber, which was also really good. But I read those two stories, and I was like, I want more Son of Tomahawk. So I picked up a few. They're not in great shape, but they're in VG shape, which is good enough for me. And I got a Tomahawk issue, a couple of Tomahawks. What's 198? Let's see. I'll talk about these once I get them in the right order. 104. And 107, and then Son of, I had them in order by price because I get a 20% discount on back issues, so it's easy for him to calculate. But I got a few Tomahawks. I got a Tomahawk number 98, which he looks like he's in a basket trying to between a canyon, and there's one guy with a rope trying to pull him up as he's trying to save a bunch of kids, it looks like. And then one Native American is shooting the ropes, and it looks like they're gonna fall. And then I have the issue 100, the 100th gala issue gift, a pin-up picture of rip-roaring rangers. That sounds weird. Rip Roaring Rangers, like as like shirtless Rangers. I don't know, but both friend and foe, the Weird Water Tomahawk, plus a slam bang battle, the Ghost of Trigger Hill, and this has like a water monster, going after some people, some soldiers, and then some other soldiers shooting a cannon at him, and then a Tomahawk and his Rip Roaring Rangers. Number 104. And what I read in the letters pages, there were a lot of fans of these Rip Roaring Rangers. And they were pissed when Son of Tomahawk came about. They wanted more of these Rangers. And this one has a monster there, so I don't know if we had like a supernatural thing going on instead of a Western thing with Tomahawk at this time, but there's like a monster attacking the Rangers. And then we have Tomahawk 107, the biggest booby trap of the war, double cross of the Gorilla Ranger. And it says introducing Thunderman, a special guest villain. So I'm really curious about these. And then in the Son of Tomahawks, it looks like it becomes more of a Western again. And the Son of Tomahawk is being hanged. And it says, "What's it gonna be, Judge? My son's life or yours?" So that must be Tomahawk aiming a gun at the judge that's hanging him. And then we got a Son of Tomahawk number 139, and there's a sign there with somebody frozen there. It says, "If you want to leave this way, welcome to our town." That's a 52-page large issue. And then we have Son of Tomahawk 132. It's got Son of Tomahawk talking to this guy, and this guy's yelling at him. It says, "Get unto the gutter where you belong, Injun." And Son of Tomahawk says, "Take your paw off my brother." So if Tomahawk was a blonde white guy that looked like Davy Crockett, right? But he married an Indian woman and had Son of Tomahawk. So Son of Tomahawk looks very indigenous. And somebody's got a rifle on him in this issue, like he's gonna shoot him. And then there were some cliffhanger books I've never heard of. There were Warren Ellis books, issue 1 through 3 of Tokyo Storm Warning. I don't know nothing about them, but I was in the tees and I saw him in the back issue. And then I saw this cover that I just thought was amazing. It was a Dell comic for 15 cents. And it was Walt Disney's number what 1190, Donald and the Wheel. And it looks like a caveman Donald with a bunch of gears and sockets. But the cover with the black background just was very intriguing to me, and that's why I got it. So I'm going to go through a couple of publishers of the previews. We left off with Marvel last time, so we're going to go to Millennium. And this is something that I am interested in trying to get. I do have some of the Doc Savages, but there was a Doc Savage Repel, the final issue, a two-issue arc by Collins. I don't know if that's Nancy Collins. Clois, Lewis, and Rolee with a Dave Dorman cover. And there was Anne Rice's The Witching Hour, which is also very appealing to me because I was into the innovation Interview with a Vampire series, Queen of the Damned, and all of those, Vampire Lestat. But now we have Anne Rice's Witching Hour, which is a TV show, by the way. So I wonder if that has gone up in value. And then The Terror from Beyond Space, number 3. And Justice Machine, The Chimera Conspiracy. I didn't even know that Millennium was publishing Justice Machine, because they had come from another publisher for sure. And then we have Mirage Studios, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, number 53. You can get a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles poster series for $5.95. Turtle Soup, 1 of 4. So there were several books coming out, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I own most of them when I didn't really give a crap about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles at one point. And with at 53, Eastman and Laird were still doing it. So just to give you an idea that Death of Superman, you know, this is the Death of Superman year, and we still have Ninja Turtles coming out the door. We had a Flake magazine. I don't know anything about that. Model and Toy Collector magazine, which has a thing called the Garage vinyl kits in the industry. There's Murdam Records World War III Illustrated, which looks interesting. Moo Press has Blue Moon. Critters Hairballs from Hell. Fur Kindred. These ones I've never heard of at all. Moo Holiday Special. Mystery Graphics Press has Highborn number 1. Let's see what this says. In the near future, the world is lost to supervillains. From out of nowhere comes mankind's last hope, the Highborn. The only problem is he's not sure why or how he's going to save it. This issue pits the Highborn against the psychotic little Hitler. Interesting. Tim Tyler art. Does this exist? I'm interested in this. Highborn. Checking the database real quick to see what's going on. Highborn. The Highborn. Yeah, it does exist. And there's one issue. Includes an ad for Razor number 1. I want this really bad. Yeah, this is something I want to check out for sure. But I don't see Tim Tyler in the credits on this one, so that's interesting. Oh, he has a pinup in there. So we have Toxic Tommy. This explosive first issue, Toxic Tommy ravages against Kronberg University frat house responsible for his current toxic condition. While extracting his bloody and violent revenge, Tommy discovers the horrible truth behind his origin, a revelation that may cost him his humanity. That one looks pretty cool, too. So I'm going to look up that one to see if that exists. Toxic If it's one issue, man, this company didn't last long. Tommy. Yeah, it's there. So it's only one issue. That is crazy. And I want these two. New England Comics Press had Batron. That was number two. The Krona Tick Special Edition. So you know they're mostly from the Tick. Man-Eating Cow number four. And Paul the Samurai number four. Rockin' Bones Xmas Special. And Tales Too Terrible to Tell. And then they still can get like the Tick number three, first printing, fifth printing of number two, and then some of the Krona Tick special editions and the Tick's Giant Circus of the Mighty. And I'm gonna stop there, and we're gonna hit the ends next time, which I'll be happy to go over Nightwind Press and North Star. So, yeah, got some fun stuff to talk about upcoming Mike Gems Weekly Reads. And I do have some questions. I'm going to save them. But I have a letter here I'd like to talk about. And it's pretty amazing. I don't usually get emails, but, and I don't know where he's from, but it's, he might not, English might not be his first language, but he writes good English. Because I can understand everything he's saying. So it's amazing that I'll have a new listener finding my podcast. But he says, I'm a new listener. I found your pod listening to one of the last preview spotlights on Comic Book Page Podcast. I've listened to two episodes, Mike M's Weekly Reads 243 and 242. Great stuff, not easy to fly solo and still be very informative and enjoyable. So thank you. He's the master of broken English. That's what he calls himself, but I don't think he gives his name at the end of this. It just says P. Thank you for the tip about Kong Comics. He also says a few questions about the show itself. These are going to be hard to answer because I'm getting really upset with the current situation of our podcast. It says, I listened on the Podcast Addict app, but there are only 13 episodes, and I don't see a pod on the Amazon Music app. I've checked on your site and Spotify, and I found more than 400 episodes. I like to dig in on the pods from the start. I have no time for streaming TV shows, movies, so when I do some working tasks or sport, I listen to a lot of shows. In which app I can find all episodes of your show? This is a tough one. It used to be the podcast app on Apple Podcast and Spotify. But now we're going through this phase where we're running out of space. So I've had to clean out some of the apps until we can find a new solution. So maybe you can go back to the last 50 episodes. And if there's anything that you see on the website that you want, I can definitely re-release it and make it available. Because there. You got to remember that I've been podcasting since 2006, so there are a lot of content. And then Geek Brunch is like 3 hour podcast. These are at least an hour. But thank you for asking these questions. And then he says another good question. Any chance to add a list of comics that you read on the episode notes? You know what? I never thought about doing that in all these episodes, and no one's ever asked. But I can start doing it if you listen to this. Comics, he says, I read almost all my comics on Comixology. It's more accessible. And like you said, space for us old people become an issue. Still, I buy a few physical indie comics that I can't find any other way. The art. I read comics for the visual component. Last summer, as a reading project, I read Harbinger, the series from the 90s. I follow all the issues drawn by David Laffam. Wonderful. Harbinger, Valiant is my heart, okay? It's the one company... I can't tell you how special that company is to me. But while Image was exploding with this splash of art by all these great artists like McFarlane and Liefeld, I felt the Valiant comics had great art from veterans, and it had really tight stories that were just so good and led by Jim Shooter and others. So I love Harbinger, like, love it. And Archer and Armstrong was like my first buy, number zero. And then I got into Unity, and then I went back, and my wife at the time was my girlfriend in this time, and she bought me Magnus 12, I think it was, which was the very first appearance of Turok. And now it's probably like $10, and back then it was worth $100. She spent that on me. So Valiant, really, really big part of my life. I own every single Valiant comic. I've read almost every single Valiant comic. I'm enjoying their Alien books run now. And I'm glad you're discovering this stuff. It's fascinating. What is your opinion about the series? Just like I said, I loved it. My Archer and Armstrong was my favorite. Harbinger was my second favorite. And then I became just a fan of the entire universe. What did I think about? Is there continuity between Shooter's Marvel New Universe? When it was coming out, the only one I was reading was Night Mask. But I've picked up some issues of some of his other series, and I've enjoyed it. Like, I see this experiment, and I think it's wonderful. I find all the issues. What did you say here? And the beginning of the Valiant universe. What's your experience with the 90s Valiant? I kind of told you. What is your favorite series, Archer and Armstrong? So I answered without reading the rest of the story. I think Archer and Armstrong's depth is just something that I really latched onto. If you haven't read Unity, where all the books tie in together, I think that's a good place to start. If you can get a trade of the original Unity, I think you'll love it. And you'll find pockets of all the other characters, and you'll see which ones you like the most. Like, Shadow Man's brilliant. Everything was brilliant. That's why I have everything, because they're just brilliant. Now, this summer, again, I like reading Project. I'm reading Archer and Armstrong. And Barry Windsor Smith. Yep. God, I love that series so much. do you have any episodes about these two series? Nothing in specific, but I don't know on the Taylor Network if there's a podcast called the Valiant Podcast around anymore. I didn't put it out, but I was part of that show. And I met a lot of Valiant people from that show, and a lot of dear friends because I did that show. Because Valiant fans are hardcore, man. They are just hardcore. And you get to meet these hardcore fans and be, you know. But look up the Valiant podcast. You might find it on the Taylor Network, and you can listen to those episodes. We mainly were talking about the when they came back. In the 2000s, so it wasn't about the old, it was about the new, but there are references to the old when we reviewed the newer issues. Sorry for the last time about how I vandalized your language. You have not. Your language is very good. I understand everything you've told me. It says, keep up the great work, P. Just want to thank you very much for your email. It means a lot to get an email from a new listener. I don't even know who listens anymore. Sometimes I think I'm talking to myself, but that's pretty cool. And I thank you for your email. And I'm sorry I can't make all the episodes available right now. Mike M's Weekly Reads originated from a podcast I did, my very first podcast, which was Rocky Mountain Comic Book Noise on the Comic Book Noise family of podcasts. And the only reason I did that is because Derek Coward came up with Comic Book Noise in, 2005, 2004. And I found his podcast, one of the first ones I was listening to, that in Comic Geek Speak. And Around Comics was another one I would listen to. And the Uncanny X-Cast. So I was listening to those. And I was a fan of Derek's, and because he was a podcaster that would talk to me, like nobody else would give me the time of day. Even though the forums were very lively, and I met a lot of friends, dear friends, through the forums at that time, Derek was always responsive, and he's pretty much paying for our network now, and we're in this situation where I don't think he wants to do it anymore because he doesn't podcast anymore, but he's still doing it. And maybe I need to get off my ass and just move to another podcatcher like Podomatic or something like that and not be a website, because that's where the cost is starting to become a burden. I just want to have unlimited space to post these and then have the podcatchers catch them. So, because the website traffic is very slim to minimal. But thank you for your questions. And I hope I answered them. And thank you for your email. I'll reply back formally and say that you're going to be in the next Mike M's Weekly Reads. So thank you for the email. And I hope you don't mind that I read it here, but I think it's pertinent. And there's a lot of Valiant fans that might want to hear some of your questions. So I'll be back with some Mike M's Weekly Reads. Bye. All right, I'm back, and we're only going to go over 1 week. This is June 3rd through June 9th. We'll start with the movies. The movies, 3 out of 5, Revenge of the Nerds 2, which... man, I don't really remember too much about it. It wasn't bad, but I could see why some of the main characters didn't want to return to the sequel based on the plot. One of the Anthony Edwards basically didn't want to, but he did play a part at the beginning as he got hurt before they were able to go on their trip, the college trip to Florida. And Carradine and the rest of the nerds went to Florida, where they got picked on by the other fraternity that has always picked on them, plus other fraternities that were there. And what they were doing was just trying to establish some rules there, and they ended up getting kicked out of the hotel and then having to live in this awful-looking hotel. And then the 4 out of 5s were Stone Killer. It was another Charles Bronson movie. This was an interesting one. It started off kind of slow for me, but then it got better as things went on. It was a mafia war, and Bronson is losing all the bad guys' witnesses. So he'll, like, capture these guys, and then the mafia will kill them because they don't want them talking. And the finale of it, it looks like the main mafia guy walks away out of a church and there's like no resolution. It's very strange, but I love Charles Bronson movies, and this was another good one. Madam Web, my second watch, was a 4 out of 5. I liked that movie, and I got to see the scenes that I missed because when I went to the theater by myself to see Madam Web, I got paged at work and I had to go. I missed a good 10 minutes. So I like missed a big part of the link of how Madam Web was actually, involved with Spider-Man, you know, like Ben Parker and Aunt May and the other characters. Like, I missed that link, which made it even more relevant to me. So I liked it even more on the second watch. I know a lot of people hate the movie, but I don't understand why. The 5 out of 5s were Rise of the Planet of the Apes, which I thought I covered last time, which was the outbreak of the Alzheimer's disease. These are the new Planet of the Apes, and then War for the Planet of the Apes. That was when the one monkey with the scar was attacking part of San Francisco. That was the war where everything broke loose. And Caesar was one faction and trying to lead his team against other teams, which was the humans. The humans were fighting against them. And then, so those are wonderful. Like, after watching the originals and then watching the new ones over again, gave me a new appreciation for the new ones. Because I was like, man, these writers had to love the concepts of the original Planet of the Apes movies, because they utilized everything that was in the original and then made it their own, but still paid respect to the concepts and ideas that were developed in the original series. We then get into the comic books. We have the 3 out of 5s, Lowriders in Space. So my nephew bought me this graphic novel, which is an all-ages book about a female goat. At least I think she's a goat. It doesn't really say what animal she is, and it's hard for me to tell. The reason I say she's a goat is she looks like a poodle, but she has these horns that like a goat has. And then there's a mosquito and an octopus who make an incredible lowrider for a competition. And they go into space, and it's a very unusual story, but I'm glad I have it, and it's funny that he got it for me, because I'm from New Mexico, and lowriders are kind of a big deal there. We got Red Sonja 2 through 10. This is the latest Dynamite run. So I had read number 1, and I went back to the storage unit to get 2 through 10 so I could read them. And this is the battle with the one wizard. She awoke Kulan Gath. And it's kind of like a slow burn in terms of her battle with this wizard. But she teams up with another woman called Grace and fights some wraiths. But Grace is killed. She is now confronting Gath at his fortress. So it takes there's a lot of issues to build up to this confrontation. And she's the one that actually she's the cause of making this big enemy for herself. She had another enemy, and by fighting that enemy, she freed this sorcerer. So then we got the 4 out of 5s, which is Conan the Barbarian number 4. And Conan makes his way out of the cult's water, because there's a cult that he went after, because they were turning people into zombies and the Picts. And he had freed some of his Sumerian friends in the previous issues, and now they were trapped, but he got them free. And with his friends and them, they're able to fight these priests and fight their way through a cult of zombies and manage to win. But it looks like the virus survives, and the Picked virus can spread again. So even though it looks like things are calm the way they ended it, it looks like there's more to come. That virus isn't totally dead. And then we got Rampaging Hulk number 2 and 3. Which is, this is a Marvel series. This isn't the Rampaging Hulk Marvel Black and White magazine. This is a series I didn't even know about. And I read these on the Marvel Unlimited app. This particular series I like so much that I wouldn't mind owning it. But Bruce's old professor betrays him to the military and turns to Ravage. So Bruce's old professor is basically dying. He's got like some kind of like muscular dystrophy or something that's attacking his system. And he finds out that Bruce was doing all this gamma research, and somehow my phone started recording me. I don't know if I said something close to the magic words to get my Apple phone to start listening to me, but it started to listen, and I had to shut it down. But that professor betrays him because Bruce was like, I don't want to get you through this gamma. This gamma radiation is not going to be a cure. It's going to be detrimental. So he says, no, we're going to do it. Well, this guy steals it anyway and gamma radiates himself after like knocking Bruce out. And he gets the power of a monster called Ravage. Don't get him confused with Ravage 2099. This is his own Ravage. He's just like a hulking beast. Hulk saves General Ross, so Ross lets him get away. He actually, you know, Ross hates the Hulk, right? I mean, he can't stand him, and he can't stand that Betty likes him, likes Bruce Banner, and she actually married. I can't remember what his name is. Talbert? I think it's Talbert. Talbert. In this comic book. And but anyway, they had invented a freeze ray that they were going to use on the Hulk. They wanted to not use it on the Hulk, but they wanted to freeze Dr. Banner while he was not the Hulk, because then they could capture him. But they used the freeze rays on Ravage, and they captured Ravage. Ravage. He's either Ravage or Rampage. I have my notes might be a little mixed up here. Valkyrie number one, also a comic book one shot that I didn't own that I liked a lot. Asgard is destroyed and Valkyrie ends up in the body of Barbara Norris, something that we've always seen, and has no memories. Also something we've seen in the Defenders. But it's really well done as a one-shot. She is trying to help one friend who is a drug addict and another that has AIDS and save them from despair. Yeah, that's pretty cool. And then the last 4 out of 5 is Torpedo 1972, number 2, from A Blaze. The last issue, the reporter had pissed off that one guy, the old mafia guy. And he raped his girlfriend. And then he turned this other mafia against Torpedo and his friend. And you got to remember that Torpedo is like, he looks like a 75-year-old hitman. Like, he's old as shit. And so is his friend. His friend's even, he's about the same age. But Torpedo looks scrawny. His friend is like, it's like Abbott Costello in their 70s, but they're awful hitmen. And Torpedo and his friend try to get to make peace with the Caputos, who's a part of that mafia group, which the reporter turned that family against them, but then end up killing most of them. So Torpedo just doesn't like the way they're treating him, and he just assassinates most of that family. The girl breaks up with her boyfriend because she thinks... Her boyfriend's the reporter, and I don't even know why she's with this guy, because she doesn't even like him. But she doesn't like him to touch her, so it's like every time he tries to get romantic with her, she's like, step off. Well, they're at the theater, and she says, you better not grab my breast or anything like you did the last time while we're watching this movie. And he's like, okay, yeah, I know you slapped the shit out of me, and that didn't end well. So he didn't, but Torpedo is fucking in the back seat, like the seat in back of him, and he reaches over and touches her breast, and that ends the relationship with the reporter and the girl. So she thought it was her boyfriend, but it really was Torpedo, And then they kill the reporter at the end of the episode. So this reads a lot like 100 Bullets, the Vertigo series, and it has the same artist, Rizzo, but it's a different guy. It's not Azzarello writing. I can't remember what his name is, but it's really fantastic. So there were no 4 out of 5s, but the top books were Torpedo 1972, number 2, and Valkyrie, number 1, from Marvel Comics that was done in the 90s. And that ends the week of June 3rd through June 9th. And the I don't know if I went over the totals, but there was one unknown. That's the Lowriders in Space, because I don't know who the publisher is. It could be Penguin Random House or some other book publisher. There was one Titan, that was the Conan, 3 Marvel, 9 Dynamite, which was the Red Sonja, and one Ablaze, which was the Torpedo 1972. I want to thank you for listening. Again, you can find all of the podcasts that are available at DCNoisePodcast.com or my favorite podcast catchers, which are iTunes. And also, you can find it on Spotify. So, and please send me email to a new email address, which is mikemyersbrunch@gmail.com. I'm trying to detach from the other one, but it's a pain in the ass, because a lot of the places you're primarily owned by your email address. So I have to slowly but surely start moving over stuff that I always thought this email address was always going to exist and wasn't going to cost any money. And then it started to cost $7.99 per month. Yes, I get infinite storage, but I don't need infinite storage. And yes, I get all these great features such as Google Apps and being able to share shit, but I don't use any of it. And I can use AI. I don't want any of that fucking shit. So I'm spending a lot. I was able to get rid of Bill's email, so that dropped the price by $7, but there's still 3 of us on there, and I'm paying the bill on that one, so it's like, it was all fun and games when I wasn't paying anything, and then now I'm paying bills, and it's like, wow, all the stuff I took for granted, having to pay for now, and they keep raising prices, just like all the jackasses, like storage units and stuff. So please send email. I want to thank P, whoever you are, for sending that email. I'm glad you found me. I hope you like tolerating my ranting and love for comics. Hopefully you learned something, and hopefully I provide some form of entertainment. I just submitted my preview spotlights for episode 200 of Preview Spotlight. I selected one Marvel, one DC, and one other, which was a Valiant book, which is interesting that you asked a Valiant question, because I haven't spotlighted Valiant since they became Alien books. And I felt like I needed to talk about them because I want them to, for a very selfish reason, I want them to exist, and I want them to always be published. So thank you for listening. You can reach me there and at Twitter/X at Mike Myers Brunch, and also on Blue Sky is the same ID. And on Facebook, you can look at all the episode threads, either on Geek Brunch Podcast or DC Noise Podcast. And even though everything is being redirected to DC Noise Podcast, still having problems with WordPress plugins and all kinds of crap. They're installing stuff, and hacker bots are getting in because of their fucking updates, and we have to start from scratch every time that shit happens, and it drives me nuts. And it's for a website that hardly anybody goes to. And It seems like a lot of people just use podcatchers or YouTube now. So, yeah. So hopefully we'll come to some kind of way to publish all the episodes instead of just a handful. But thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Bye.